Today's episode deals with themes of suicide. If you or someone that you know are having thoughts of suicide, you can call 988 for help. If you are one of our friends in another country besides the US, you can go onto Wikipedia and search for list of suicide crisis lines to find a page that will take you to a number of different lines and resources for a number of different countries. Welcome to Stargazing, a Stargate gazing podcast. I'm your host, Mary.
And I'm your other host, Kathy.
And each week we review an episode of Stargate alternating between SG-1 and Atlantis. Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm going. It's a bit... Wow. Off to a good start.
That good, huh?
Off to a good start.
Indeed.
I am doing okay. Yeah.
Did you give your microphone its fuzzy new hat?
It does have a fuzzy new hat.
So does mine. I think the Tribble, though, that I keep in my office that apparently no longer makes noise is getting jealous of it because it looks kind of like I have a Tribble sitting on my microphone.
You should have just gutted your Tribble and put it on your microphone.
No, that would have been sad. Well, but I think I can change the battery. I think it opens up. Yeah.
Okay.
I can. Okay, good. Whew, that's good.
Cool.
Nothing sadder than a silent Tribble.
Indeed.
Enhanced filtration. Go us.
Hopefully it goes well. I'm sure it will.
Indeed. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, me too.
What have you been up to? Long time no see.
I finally put out a puzzle mat and was going to do a physical puzzle instead of doing jigsaw puzzles on my computer to give my eyes a break. But it turns out the only thing that draws the cats onto the coffee table is putting a puzzle mat down and putting puzzle pieces on it.
Oh,
and then
good.
They lay all over it, roll around, start chewing the puzzle pieces.
Excellent.
So typical cat behavior.
Pretty standard, really.
Yeah.
No Super interest helpful. At all in that coffee table until this happened. And now they're like, yeah. Ooh.
That reminds me of Coconut with my backpack today. She never really seems to show any interest in my work bag generally. She used to go into it to try to get snacks, but it's been, I don't know, like maybe a year since she's tried to get into it. And I got home from work and then had to leave for an appointment. So I was gone from the house for like an hour and I left my backpack on the floor when I normally put it up a little bit higher. But like I said, I didn't think of it because she hadn't gone into it in a really long time, even when it's been accessible. And I came home and she had opened every pocket and strewn the entire contents of my backpack everywhere. So there was just like, thankfully she didn't get into the Sharpies, but like there were Sharpies everywhere. There was one of those Tide pens and Whiteout pens everywhere. She ruined my chapstick. Just... all the stuff everywhere. My remote that I used for PowerPoints with my little laser pointer in it was completely across the room. The entire backpack was actually across the room from where I left it, too. Speaking of animals going places they don't normally go and doing things they shouldn't
Job
be doing.
Job, Coconut.
I was not pleased.
Was there any actual snack in there?
I came in and there was just stuff all over the floor. And I was like, what the hell is that? There is a snack in there. But because I know that she can get to the snacks, the snack is in a zippered bag inside one of the zippered pockets. Because I know she can open zippers.
Clever girl.
But it's hard for her to get into the zippered bag because it's like, I don't know, less leverage or whatever. She's tried chewing on the corner of that zippered bag a few times, but... while she can readily get into the pockets of my backpack by unzipping them, she has not been able to get into that bag.
Oh, Coconut.
Yet. She's a big jerk.
She is.
Although, oddly, the one pocket that had that bag of snacks in it was the one pocket she didn't bother to open. She opened all the other pockets.
She's just being an asshole.
She pulled out my work she pulled out my goggles, like my safety glasses and my hand sanitizer and like everything.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. She's a jerk. She's a jerk.
For sure.
You know who else is doing stuff he's not supposed to do?
Ooh, who's that?
Some rich billionaire asshole guy.
Yay! Shocking.
In this episode of Stargate that we're talking about. Although, to be fair, I'm not completely sure he's wrong. I'm not sure he's right, but I'm not completely sure he's wrong either.
I mean, I don't think he's right about his beliefs about people.
Yes, that and also he's got the wrong approach, but What are we talking about today?
This is Stargate SG-1, Season 8, Episode 8, Covenant. We start with a close-up of a airplane model, and then we're on two guys.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
One's name is Coulson. He's the billionaire dude. And also, the actor is the guy who starred in The Nanny with Fran Drescher.
I knew he looked vaguely familiar. I never watched that show, but I was at least familiar. I knew of it.
Yeah.
I would see it in passing as I scanned for other things to watch.
Now he's on General Hospital. He does other stuff too. Ooh. But yeah, just a random fun fact. Apparently he has a soap opera background. He was on Days of Our Lives for a long time, and it seems like he has a very varied career. So he does stage, mm-hmm. and he's done, you know, TV, and he's done daytime soap, which I think is a different animal than a lot of TV sitcoms and stuff like that. And
yeah,
so good for him. But anyway, in this, he plays a billionaire named Alec Coulson.
I'm Agent Phil Coulson with the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
That's quite a mouthful.
I know.
And he's got a buddy / underling with him named Vogler, we learn eventually. They are having a chat about how there is no turning back once they walk through some door. His friend / colleague / underling is concerned about his credibility and the fate of the company they all work at, that he built, that they're all rich from. But this guy is like, nope, we are going after the leaders of the free world, and they should be the ones who are worried, not you. Everybody needs to know the truth, and he knows he's doing the right thing. And then they are in this next room full of reporters and cameras, and it is a big press conference. And he makes a little speech that the events of the Antarctica battle...
What's a battle?
...that was covered up with the story that it was a meteor shower that apparently killed over 2,000 people. So...
Yikes, I somehow missed that.
Yeah, that would have been a big meteor shower. But he's like, no, indeed, it wasn't a meteor shower.
Meteor showers don't kill people because they burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah. That was the cover story, and he is there to tell us all that that is not what really happened. Then we switch perspectives, and it's Daniel in his office watching this press conference on TV. Sam comes in to see what's going on, and he shushes her, and they both watch this guy say that he doesn't know how many governments are in on this, but we are being lied to.
Oh, it does specifically say that the people that died were all service people.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was like random civilians that had died. I was like, how did I miss that?
Oh, okay, yeah. I would have questions, too, if the government was like, yes, 2,000 service people died in a meteor shower. Okay.
Yes, that is still questionable, but I can see how that would have happened given the events that we have seen. I was like, when did I miss all of the random civilians dying in that episode?
I was not clear. And then he pulls it out.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
He's like, there are aliens! And they have all kinds of technology!
What?
And they are totally here! And he's got proof, but he's not going to show you guys the proof right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to give the government, which government, all the government, all over, all the government, yes, of the various nations. They get 24 hours to reveal the truth, or he's going to do it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and that basically takes us to credits. I was like, why are you giving them time? Why don't you just throw it all out there, buddy? That's our dramatic opening.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. After credits in the briefing room, Julia Donovan, if anybody remembers her, she was the news person on the Prometheus episode.
It took me a while to remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't remember the name, but I remembered her when I saw her. She's not in the briefing room. Teal'c, Daniel, and Sam are watching her from the briefing room on TV. And she is reporting about Alec Coulson and press conference that he just had. He's 42 and then has a net worth over $60 billion and runs a global empire of companies. including communications, biotech, aerospace, and aviation for anyone who's interested in his resume.
Very.
Of course. And he's got a whole bunch of patents, 200 proprietary patents on military and domestic industries, blah, blah, blah. He has done a lot of things, is the long story short. Jack comes in and turns off the TV. Jack says that they know who he is. Everybody in this room has worked with him at some point or has worked with technology that he has made at some point. Sam even clarifies that it was his aviation company that designed a bunch of the control systems and various parts for the F-302s. They never told Coulson what they were for, but Sam says he's a brilliant engineer. Sam doesn't think, though, that anyone's going to take him seriously, even as smart as he is and accomplished as he is with the various companies and backgrounds that he has. They are trying to figure out what he knows and how he knows it. Jack has a file full of photographs that must have been taken from satellites that he either owns or at least has control of or access to. National Security has given him a talking to for looking at things he shouldn't be looking at with his satellites. And the president has called him personally to presumably ask him the same thing, stop snooping around with your satellites. Teal'c wants to know why they don't just tell him the truth if they are concerned about his snooping, but he's been deemed a security risk because of this exact reason that the government figured that anything that he learned, he would likely just go and turn around and tell the public. Sam does mention that leaking classified information would be considered treason and, you know, maybe have him sign a non-disclosure agreement or something along those lines. But he believes very strongly in freedom of speech and really anything he learns, there's not actually any way they're going to stop him from talking. So Jack tells them that they need to go and try to convince him not to go public without actually telling him anything.
Great.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right. What could go wrong?
Then we are back with Coulson in whatever city he is in. He's talking to his buddy again. This guy is very, very concerned about the company, which, fair.
Yes.
He's just giving a sort of not so rosy picture of the company's outlook. Their stock price is down. They've overextended themselves. They've got a lot of debt and they might have to start selling assets in order to make up some of this debt.
Won't somebody think of the shareholders?
Yes. And he's like, you're alienating our biggest client, the government. Which government? All of the governments.
All the governments.
Yes.
Governments.
Yeah, and Coulson is like, it doesn't matter what we know, we need to share that with the world. And everyone needs to start dealing with this new reality that we're going to be talking about. And this guy is also like, well, what if people can't handle it? And Coulson's like, it's gonna be fine. Don't worry about it. The truth is always right, he says. Which, okay. And then a woman comes in to let them know that they're here and that they is Sam and Daniel. They're on a first name basis, apparently. Well, she calls him Alec anyway.
True.
He does call her.
He calls her Lieutenant Colonel.
Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Samantha Dr. Carter. Coulson apparently is a big fan of Daniel Jackson going back to his pre-Stargate theories about the pyramids being alien ship landing pads. Daniel's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's fine. He's like, it's the vaguest thing. He's like, oh, what have you been up to since? He's like, I've been around. Okay, Daniel. Stuff. Why don't you be a little more cagey?
Right.
Coulson says, let's start with something we can agree on, that the meteor shower was a cover story. I know. He might not have come up with a better one either. Sam wants to know why. Why he would think that's a cover story. And then he starts showing that he has images.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Of gold ships, of the Prometheus, a battle, all of that fun stuff. They got these images from some of their satellites that had gone offline, but apparently had stored these images in the buffer and transmitted them when they came back on. Okay. Sam's like, those could be fake, but they're not.
Of course not.
He also says that they have more than just these images to work with. I don't know everything, obviously, he says, but I have a right to, and everyone else does too. And Sam's like, can anything we can say to stop you? And he's like, hell no.
Sam and Daniel leave and get into her car, and Sam's phone rings, and it is Julia Donovan. Sam wants to know how she got her phone number. Donovan is pissed off because of this breaking information, and apparently they had a deal with Donovan that if they were ever going to go public, she was going to be the one that got to break the story. So she's pretty pissed off that Coulson is taking other means to break this story. She wants to know if Sam has anything to say about it or would be willing to come and be on her show or be interviewed or something along those lines. They talk about the fact that Coulson doesn't seem to be too worried about going to jail, but Sam does say that he hasn't technically done anything illegal just yet. They pretty much just end the call with Donovan asking Sam to once again promise that she will call Donovan first if they decide to break the story or if anything big is going to happen. Meanwhile, Daniel has 13 messages from Emmett Bregman, who I don't remember who that is.
I don't either.
Okay. Fair.
Hey, I'm bad!
Oh, wait. It was Saul Rubinek's character.
No, he had a different name. Wasn't he? Oh, did he?
I thought he was Bregman.
It might, yes, you're right. Sorry. My brain is broken. I'm fine. I'm doing great.
Yeah, the documentary guy from
That's right. Okay.
Frasier's Unfortunate Passing.
Right, right.
But that's the only mention we get of that. He does not come up again in this episode.
You said Frasier's Unfortunate Passing, and I was like, wait, what? How does what was that?
Frasier,
I know.
Frasier Crane.
But that's where my brain went, because, you know.
Of course.
I am wounded!
For the record, her name is actually spelled Frasier, but half of them say Frasier, so that's just what I always called her.
Me too. Back at Coulson's company, Coulson is telling his staff that he has arranged security for them and their families. They are now concerned for their safety because of all of the crazy-ass people calling them.
Great.
Yeah. Plus the government, maybe. Which government, again? All of them.
Who knows? Yep. All of them? Yes.
Vogler, whose first name is Brian, is still trying to convince Coulson to, you know, maybe we don't do this. But Coulson's like, no, no, it's too late. Everyone needs to know. Same thing again. We've been lied to by the government. Coulson said that he was hoping that the feds would come clean. That's very, very hopeful of him.
Why would you ever expect that to happen?
Vogler is concerned that how right or wrong they are, and it doesn't matter who they are, they can be stopped by the government if the government really wants them to. And Coulson's like, what are they going to do? Kill me? And that's basically the end of that scene.
Yep.
Like, gee, man, maybe.
They could. Those NID people, you can't trust them.
Right?
There's always some rogue NID agent.
Absolutely.
Doing something rogue.
Rogue always comes to Gambit's rescue.
Then we're back in the briefing room with SG-1 and Jack. They were watching Donovan on TV again. Sam thinks he's got something more significant than pictures that they can try to claim are fake or doctored. They talk about the fact that he has some R&D technologies, and some of them are loosely related to alien technologies that they procured off-world. So maybe he's gotten suspicious from some of the things that they have given him that were not from Earth, or at least given to his companies. On the TV, Donovan talks about going to Coulson Industries, and then Coulson is there. It has been 24 hours to the minute since he said that the government, all of the governments, presumably, would have 24 hours to go public. So Coulson gets back up, gets in front of a microphone and says that he told everyone of their belief in existence of intelligent life beyond our planet, and that they thought several governments, including our own, would have known about it and were concealing it. And now it is time to reveal the truth. And he gestures to somebody and then says, seeing is believing, as through the door, somebody leads a little Asgard, looking very nervous and not too happy. And of course, everybody gasps. So many gasps. Gasps all around.
I gasp.
Gasp.
Asgard!
Back in the briefing room, Jack says, well, I'd call that something.
Next, we get another report from Donovan the next day. There's been no official statement from the White House, and Coulson Industries promises there's more to come. Perhaps around the same time, not clear, but yeah, I think that TV report was meant to show a little time had passed.
Yeah.
They have tried contacting Thor, and Thor has gotten back to them and says that there are no Asgard that he knows of currently on Earth. Daniel points out that Loki was able to fly under the radar and do experiments on Earth without them knowing about it.
Good point.
And then also Sam's like, what if it wasn't really an Asgard? Daniel's like, well, looked like one. But Sam thinks maybe it could be a fake. He could have had a picture. She says that no Asgard they know would have allowed themselves to be used that way. But at the same time, she doesn't think Coulson is the type to play a hoax. So she's not sure exactly what's going on. But let's think on it.
In Coulson Industries offices, Fogler and Coulson are hanging out, talking about how all of the networks want to interview them. And it's too bad their little gray friend is not able to talk. They know that the Asgard is capable of talking. They've taken an MRI of him and has a larynx similar to that of a human, but he just doesn't seem to have anything to say. The news people also want independent medical and scientific personnel to be able to poke and prod the poor Asgard guy to verify that it is what they say it is.
But also a way to be diligent, news people.
Yes. I mean, yes, that is very good, but also it seems to be a sentient life form, so I'm a little bit apprehensive about letting a bunch of people poke and prod
for sure
at it. But yeah, if only news networks asked for scientific verification these days before spewing verbal vomit. That isn't true. But here we are. That was 20 years ago. This is now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The random staffer person who came in with the report of the MRI and is just kind of talking about the anatomy of the Asgard is also mentioning that the networks in the world want proof of alien intelligence, but this guy doesn't seem to have any. So they can't just put it out in front of TV to help it win over the public opinion, because even though he doesn't look human, he's not actually doing anything to really show that this is anything other than like a weird scam thing, I guess. They go into Coulson's office and continue talking about the fact that all they know is that the DNA that they used to make this Asgard came from, they're not using the term Asgard, obviously. Yeah. They don't know what that is, but we obviously know what it is. The DNA that they used to make this Asgard came from the Department of Defense, and that is all they know. So they don't know where the DNA actually came from or anything about the fact that it's Asgard or from another planet or whatever. Obviously, they're assuming it's from another planet. But Coulson says that sooner or later, the government's going to have to respond to public pressure and it will have to give more information. So even though they can't get the Asgard to actually say anything, they just basically have to sit and wait until the government eventually starts talking anyway because of the public pressure for some sort of answer as to what this little being is.
But we get answers immediately.
Indeed.
Because
we're special.
We are special. We get to see inside the SGC, so there, Coulson.
We do. Take that.
Yeah.
Decide to believe that I'm special.
SG-1 goes to meet Jack in the briefing room, where they are reporting basically the same thing, that Coulson got the DNA from one of his companies that was given a copy to sequence.
That's so incredibly immoral and also of very questionable legality, especially since it came from the DOD. I would think that they could probably throw him in jail for a very long time for doing that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which they were trying to, Sam says, help the Asgard with their cloning problem. They didn't know it was alien DNA. It was a blind study, Daniel says. But he says, took the research a little further. Yeah.
Than the contract specified, yeah. And that is where the problem lies. Yeah.
So they grew a clone, but there's no Asgard consciousness in it, which is why it's just a vacant vessel, basically.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of their explanation of how hagfish work.
Oh, yeah?
Because they talked about how hagfish can be born without any of the inherent genetic knowledge that they have. So all of those hagfish that Tok'ra queen had made didn't have any of their genetic knowledge because she'd made them without it. It's not exactly the same, but it kind of reminded me of.
You're right.
Similar kind of principle, except in this case, all of the Asgard are cloned without any knowledge, and then it's downloaded into them later.
So this clone did not speak because it could not. It has nothing to say because it knows nothing.
Indeed.
Jack then says, the Pentagon has lost all patience and they want us to put a stop to this. So they're going to call in a marker, and he waits a moment. Nothing happens. So he checks his watch and says it again, calling in a marker. And then Thor beams in.
There they go. It was almost good timing.
Yes. Did Jack really need to Thor to happen at a dramatic moment?
Of course he did, because he loves when Thor does that. Back in Coulson's office, the same staffer who we never get a name for comes in and says, it is gone. And by it, she means the alien, their computers, and literally everything from the lab that was just beamed out of there. Coulson asks about security, and the staffer clarifies, no, nobody took it. It just literally disappeared. Everybody was right there standing in front of it, and then it was all just gone in a bright flash of light.
Thanks, Thor.
Yeah. So Ron, whoever the hell that is going to send out a decoy car, whatever that is, and get a plane ready for a trip to Washington. It sounds like Coulson's going to Washington?
That was his plan, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the decoy car is to distract the throngs of media that are presumably around the building so that he can sneak into a different car and go to the plane?
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Then we're in a TV studio with Donovan and Sam. Sam is going to get an interview. She's dressed all fancy in her dress blues, looking very dapper, although quite nervous, but she does seem to do better, I think, in this interview than she did with the one that she did for Bregman, now that I remember his name. Donovan gives her the pointer of just try not to think about the camera, just focus on her. That's actually not the problem that Sam has. Is the fact is that she actually respects Alec Coulson, so she feels bad going on TV and discrediting him when he actually hasn't said anything that's not true, and all he really wants is to tell people the truth. But, of course, she's been ordered to do this, so she's going to do it regardless of how she actually feels personally. But since Donovan notices that Sam is quite reluctant about it, she does tell Sam to feel free to go against those orders if she just so chooses, and Donovan will go with it if that happens. There's music and a countdown, and then the show starts. Donovan introduces Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Samantha Dr. Carter of the United States Air Force, with her background in hard science, specifically astrophysics. And she's one of the military's leading scientific researchers, and everybody is eager to hear Washington's reaction to Alec Coulson and his little alien friend. Sam says that she can assure people that if aliens really existed and were visiting the planet, that she and the government would know about it. So not actually denying it, just saying that if it was real, they would know about it, which is true. Donovan asks if that means that the claims have no merit because they did all see an alien on TV, and Sam says that Hollywood's been doing things like that for a long time, making people see things on TV. So again, not actually denying it, just deflecting very handily. Donovan asks if Sam is saying that the alien wasn't real, and Sam says that it depends on what you mean by real. I think she's doing a great job of not actually lying.
Yes.
But not actually giving anything away.
Yep.
Reports that say that something hasn't happened are always interesting to me because, as we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
As is pointed out by Coulson, who is watching this on a TV in his car, because he's not driving, of course. He's a billionaire. He doesn't drive himself.
No.
He mentions that she hasn't lied once. Sam does say that they've been experimenting with technology that makes it possible for them to create anything that they can imagine virtually, and then all of a sudden a hologram of the Asgard appears next to her. So that looks pretty convincing, which we all know it's a hologram of a real Asgard somewhere, but they don't mention that. At least I would assume it is. But again, they don't mention that. Donovan says, that's amazing. He looks so real. And again, probably he is. I'm assuming this is Thor.
Yeah.
Just sitting up on his ship or whatever. Coulson continues to be impressed as he watches from his car. Back in the studio, the interview is over and Donovan says it's not quite what she had in mind. There's nothing groundbreaking. Again, obviously Sam didn't really lie, nor did she really give anything away at any point. But Donovan does think that even despite that fact that she's going to have some huge numbers for this show. Sam thinks that it's hilarious that all she really cares about is ratings, despite everything else going on and all that she's seen.
What else is she supposed to do with her life?
Right? Exactly.
She's not directly involved with what's going on.
Yeah.
She's supposed to just sit around with your thumb up your butt worrying about things you can't do anything about.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That is weird.
Oh, Sam.
Donovan does ask how Sam did the Asgard hologram thing, and of course, it was some sort of alien technology. But then Donovan gets interrupted by a message. And that message is that 10 minutes ago, Alec Coulson's private plane had to take an emergency landing. So I don't know how he was just in his car. That timing yeah. is weird, but whatever. Yeah. He had to make an emergency landing after almost crashing on takeoff from SeaTac. So apparently he got really quickly to the airport and like just jumped right on the plane. I know you don't have to go through security when it's a private jet, but still, that was a faster process than I would have thought to get to the airport, get on the plane, get clearance for takeoff, take off, almost crash and be grounded. Okay. Anyway, the plane suffered sudden depressurization and loss of engine power. That's pretty bad. Coulson's wife and daughter died in a plane crash when he was 24, so that's terrible, and that's why he started Coulson Aviation. So they're going to go and dig up a story on them. Awesome.
Yeah. Coulson calls Sam. She asks if he's okay. He's like, yeah, we're fine, but Brian's real scared. Sam again asks how somebody got her number, which, if the reporter got it, surely the billionaire could get it. So, you're silly, Sam. He's like, I have my sources. He also tells her, he also tells her they found evidence the plane was tampered with. This all happens real fast.
It does. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And he's like, somebody tried to kill me. Know who that might have been? And she's like, how would I know? I wouldn't go around trying to discredit you if I knew you were going to get killed. But maybe she would, because you want the crank to be discredited when he's killed so that he doesn't become, like, a focal point
right.
to perpetuate the conspiracies. And he's like, yeah, to make sure it didn't look like you guys had anything to do with it. He's like, well, don't worry. If it was the government, I'm sure you were just a pawn.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, no, no. And he's like, I'm still determined to tell everyone the truth about aliens, so that's why I called, just to tell you that again, I guess. And that's that phone call.
In Jack's office, Daniel and Thor are sitting there. Thor, I guess, wanted to give something to the president. I guess as a thank you for, I don't know. I mean, they're going to give him the Asgard to actually put a consciousness in.
Yeah.
So is that what he's thanking the president for?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like they have a lot of things to be thanking the Earth for. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they don't actually specify. Jack, anyway, though, wants a hyperdrive for the Prometheus. And Thor will have to discuss that with the High Council. Sam comes in and asks Jack if he has any idea who might have tried to kill Coulson. Jack assures her that it was not them. Daniel says that they think that Coulson has some pieces of some Gua'uld ships that were downed in Antarctica, so that's probably not good. And maybe it was one of his own subsidiaries involved in that that wanted to take him out for reasons that are not clear.
It's so dumb.
Oh, it's so dumb, it's brilliant.
No! It's just dumb!
Sam asks if they're just going to keep trying to discredit him. Jack wants to know what kind of alternative they might have, and Sam suggests telling the truth. Of course, everybody stares at her and is like, what the hell are you talking about? She didn't mean to everybody, though. She just meant to Coulson, specifically. She realizes that he's been deemed a security risk, but still, maybe if he understood the gravity of the situation and if he really wanted to do what was best for the country, maybe they can tell him and convince him that he can't tell anybody. And also, maybe it would be helpful to have more of his resources on their side if he knew what was going on here. Thor and Jack have a meeting with the president in 5 minutes. So Jack will bring it up. Sam is surprised that they have a meeting with the president halfway across the country in 5 minutes, but of course Thor's got his beaming technology, so they are beamed away.
Yay! Beaming! Woo!
I want beaming technology. My commute is annoying.
Right.
And stupid.
Yeah.
There's been so much construction traffic lately.
Lame. In Coulson's office, he is still arguing with Vogler, like he's been doing this whole thing. Vogler does not want him to go forward. Coulson's like, nope, full steam ahead. And then he's beamed out of there and into the SGC. With Thor. And he is like, whoa. And Daniel's like, yes, we beamed you here.
That was a hell of a thing.
Yeah. So Jack has clearly gotten permission to go ahead and tell Coulson whatever they want. So Sam's like, yes, you're in Cheyenne Mountain Complex. And, you know, Daniel, and this is our buddy Thor.
Watch out for his fingers. They make sparks.
Oh. He asks what happened to his clone. And Thor's like, it's going to become a host to an Asgard consciousness. And it's time for me to go, so bye. And he beamed out of there.
I have to go now. My planet needs me.
And Sam's like, I'm going to show you something. So she opens up the blast doors in front of the windows in the conference room I think they're in. Mm-hmm. And she's like, look at this giant Stargate. It's amazing.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
Then they give Coulson a little bit of a break in the VIP room. He calls Brian on the phone to promise him that he's fine since he was beamed away from right in front of Brian and staffer person that doesn't have a name. He'll be back in a few days. And now he's got to go. Sam comes in. She's dressed in her soldiery clothes and she also has a jumpsuit for him that she throws at him. So he gets changed and they head out to the gate room. The gate dials out. And they are going to P4X650, Sam tells Coulson, to the off-world base, the Beta site specifically. It is 640 light years away. And they go through the wormhole. Coulson says he didn't feel a thing, which is definitely very different from what we were told on many occasions before.
Yes.
Sam tells him he was demolecularized. There is a nameless captain there to welcome them to the Alpha site. Oh, he's not nameless. Sam introduces him as Captain Sheffield, so never mind. Coulson is surprised by how much it looks like Earth, and not at all as otherworldly as he expected it to. But then Sam opens a blast door into a hangar and shows him an F-302, which does not look like normal Earth technology, and Coulson is very amazed by that. She tells him that it's an alien-human hybrid and that it was some of his technology that was used to make it go. And it is specifically thanks to him that it's capable of leaving the atmosphere and returning. She tells him that they did use a bunch of these when they had to defend Earth 5 months ago in Antarctica, which he apparently knows about from all of the photos that he's got. But this is just one of many advancements that technology that they have procured through the gate combined with Coulson, has helped them to make. And then she asks if he wants to take a ride.
And he is like, hell yes.
Of course.
On Earth, Vogler is doing something at a computer. The unnamed woman comes in and asks what he's doing. And he's like, Alec wanted all this evidence duplicated and secured off premises just in case. And then he leaves and he answers the phone.
Ahoy, ahoy. No, you have the wrong number.
To some dramatic music where he's like, I don't know where he is. I have a meeting with the SEC. Don't worry. It's going to work. Uh-oh. What's this guy up to? And on the Alpha site, Coulson and Sam take a ride in the F-302. Well, they have a little chat about, again, keeping secrets.
So many secrets.
So many secrets. And he's like, oh, it must be so hard. And she's like, but what about all the fear and chaos? But he's like, what about the greater meaning you could bring to people's lives?
The greater meaning.
Yes. But Sam's like, but we have this terrible enemy out here and we're lucky we haven't been killed or enslaved. and most people would have a hard time living with the threat of constant impending doom. And I just laugh and laugh because I feel like we live that way now.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Maybe not everyone everywhere, but...
But I think most of us.
Yeah, just like even like a low level like sense of doom and dread all the time.
Right. It may be for different things for different people, but I feel like between like the constant threat of economic ruin and climate change and diseases and cancer and accidents and all kinds of stuff.
I welcome constant. The alien overlords. No, I don't. Not if they're like the world, but
well, yes, yeah. I suppose. I think being a Borg might not be so bad, though.
Sounds Swedish.
Yeah,
if we needed to have any alien overlords.
Yeah, I mean, because then you're just
you're still alive, and you're gonna be pretty healthy. I mean, granted, you've got all of those weird things attached to you, but
true,
you don't have to think anymore. Everyone else tells you what to think.
They could give me sight back in my blind eye. By giving me one of those Borg eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they could improve my marathon time.
They could probably improve your marathon time. Yeah. I've heard the Borg and my deadlift, crush marathons.
Yeah.
I heard they hold the galactic record for marathons.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably don't even hurt after.
That's true. You just go regenerate for a little while and it's all fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. They continue debating and Sam gives Coulson a turn with the flying, which for some reason he decides to take the plane into a nosedive at the end.
Yeah, that's dumb.
To the point where Sam actually had to like retake control and pull up because he wasn't listening. Yeah. And he was like, whatever, it's fine. It can handle it. Oh, I meant to look this up. The side of the F-302, when they're getting out of it, it says caution explosive bolts. And I wondered what that meant. But I forgot.
Oh, weird. I would imagine that that's probably for the ejection seats.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just a guess.
So caution explosive bolts.
Yeah.
So they continue their argument when they land after he's nearly killed them. He's like, oh, it wasn't fun feeling out of control, was it? And she's like, you did not need to make that point with my life. He's like, ah, we weren't going to crash. It's fine. And then he's, you know, complaining again that someone's trying to kill him. I mean, get over it, man. It just happened, but just not, you know, God.
Let's not bicker and argue about who killed who.
He's like, it's still not going to stop me. I'm going to tell everybody everything.
I'm a billionaire. I'm going to do what I want.
Yep, that's right.
Back in the gate room, Sam and Coulson are continuing to chat. She wants to tell him about a clandestine group of private businessmen like himself who are informed of the gate over 6 years ago by rogue elements of the NID. They are trying to figure out who those people are and bring them down, but they're not having a whole lot of luck with that. They do know that former Vice President Kinsey is linked to them. But instead of going public like Coulson's trying to do, they've just been funding their own special interests instead, in secret. And all of those are aimed at controlling alien technology for their own purposes. Coulson wants to know what those purposes are. Sam doesn't know because it's their own personal purposes. Coulson wants to know why she's telling him this. And it's because Sam thinks that it's probably someone in that group that is the one that tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will never get control of the gate like they probably want if the entire world knows about the gate. Coulson says that one of the downsides of celebrity is that you don't have any secrets. After the crash that took away his daughter and his wife, he vowed to make flying as safe as possible, and that's what he's been working on with his companies, and he thought that he could do it better than anyone else. I don't really know why that's relevant to this conversation, but this is where he brings it up. Probably could have skipped over that, but I didn't. I guess from here, he wants to go to intergalactic travel for the masses. He is realizing that with all of the advanced civilizations that are out there, there's also got to be some bad guys out there, too. And he does ask Sam about that. She says he has no idea how bad they are. They are truly very terrible. But he still thinks they need to believe in humanity and that telling them about the gate could bring everyone together. Sam is not convinced.
No.
Nor am I. He says that she's afraid that knowing about the Stargate would fracture the world more than it already is. And I believe that that is correct. Yes. Sam thinks that not only would that actually get in the way of fighting the Goa'uld, but it could just end civilization altogether, because they've seen it happen on other planets when knowledge of the Stargate has been made public. It has led to just apocalyptic world wars on various other planets, such as that one that Daniel got stranded on. I mean, obviously they knew about the gate, but that wasn't until it started functioning that they broke out into their giant war that killed almost everybody. Coulson calls it the ultimate irony that they secretly save the world from destruction at the hands of alien invaders, only to destroy themselves out of fear after the fact. But he's also not convinced. He doesn't think that anything bad would happen if he told everyone about the Stargate. And even if it did, he says that that would be a fate we would deserve. Awesome. So he's still not convinced. He's not going to say anything. And he even asks Sam if she agrees with him.
Yeah.
Wow. Somehow I missed that part of the conversation when I was actually watching the episode and only just picked up on it reading the transcript.
Basic decency of humans. But if that doesn't work out, we'll get what we deserve.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Cool.
They head back to Earth, where they return just in time to learn that Coulson has been discredited, that he created this hoax in order to keep people from noticing all of his corporate malfeasance.
Yeah. So says the news anyway.
Yes.
Donovan specifically.
Yes. Donovan is doing the reporting. Daniel's watching it on the TV when Sam and Coulson come in. And Coulson is like, what the fuck is she talking about? Daniel's like, yep, your company stock has fallen 80%. The president halted trading in the markets.
Yikes.
Yeah, and the Dow is down over 500 points. The SEC is investigating Coulson for securities fraud, and Coulson is outraged. Daniel says that the irregularities occurred in the last two financial statements from the company, and he is like, no, no, I'm totally being set up for this. I am outraged.
Understandable.
Yes. And then Coulson and Sam make their way back to Coulson's company, which I'm assuming is in Seattle, since they were at SeaTac. They go to see Vogler, and he is like, what's Sam doing here? And Coulson's like, she's gonna help. And he's like, oh, does she have a time machine and we can go back and fix things? Vogler is very angry. He's telling Coulson he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't stop. You go off on your adventures, you fly your planes, you drop by every now and again with an idea, but, you know, I'm always having to bail you out. Vogler admits to cooking the books.
Great.
Yeah.
Good job, Vogler.
Yep, yep. And says he also told the SEC himself? I don't really know.
It doesn't matter. Imply that, yeah.
Yeah. Because, as he said, he almost died in the same plane that Coulson was in, and he still has a family. He says, they tried to kill us. Do you think they were going to let you tell a secret like this?
Who's they? What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
And it turns out that Sam was dead on. The trust has been after Coulson and threatening Vogler for months now. Coulson's like, it's okay, we're going to take care of this. And Vogler's like, it's too late. And Coulson's like, but we're gonna go to jail. And Vogler's like, that's fine, my family will be fine, so it doesn't really matter. And Coulson's like, what about the company? And Vogler's like, well, you didn't care about the company before this, did you? Which, fair point. So yeah, the trust has been after Vogler for like 6 months, so they knew all this stuff about him. They might have made him do it. I don't...
Yeah.
It's not clear.
No.
Yeah. Vogler, though, is definitely on the side of, we should not tell the truth. Coulson asks Sam, there must be something we can do, or says to her, he doesn't really ask, but she's like, you signed false financial documents, statements.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Coulson's like, but what about, I meant about the people trying to kill us. And she's like, I don't know who they are. They've threatened people. They operate above the law. We have tried to bring them down and we can't. And Coulson's like, well, we'll try again. So it's not going well for Coulson.
Nope. No, it's not.
No. But he's still, at this point, somewhat... It's not optimistic. Well, it is. Like, he's either in denial or he's still, like, optimistic he can get out of this.
Yeah, kind of a little of both.
Yeah.
Optimistic denial.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam and Jack have a talk out in the hall. She tells him that Coulson has convinced Fogler to arrange a meeting with his contact in the trust and to wear a wire, and so hopefully that will give them a bit of information, enough to connect them with some rogue NID person, mm-hmm. and try to coordinate with Agent Barrett to then flip said rogue NID person, or at least do something to restore Coulson's image. They go into Jack's office and continue talking about...
I don't know what they were talking about. All I could focus on was the big fat laptop on Jack's desk. It was so fat.
They go into Jack's office where there was a big fat laptop, apparently, that I did not happen to notice. They're just talking about the fact that Fogler's word is really the only thing that they have that can protect Coulson, and that doesn't necessarily really do anything to help him. They are concerned for his safety because of all of the damage that he's done to the company at this point, and they're going to keep him under close surveillance. His family's been taken into protective custody. Sam says she wouldn't count Coulson out just yet, and that if he feels strongly that the world should know the truth, he's still going to go ahead and tell the truth anyway. Jack gets a phone call, and when he puts the phone down, he tells everyone that Fogler has been found dead in his bathroom. He has been hanged. It is being blamed on himself, but I am not convinced that it was not the trust. It is kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, agreed.
Later in Coulson's office, Sam has come for a visit, and she says that she's sorry about Brian. Coulson's blaming himself about the situation, but Sam says there's no way he could have known what was going to happen. He says that Fulger was his best friend, but Sam reminds him that Fulger betrayed him, but Coulson says, no, I'm the one that betrayed him. Coulson has a gun in his hand, which is worth mentioning at this point. So it's looking like he's thinking of potentially taking himself out as well. He does say his life's over and everything that he's worked for, everything he believes in and held to be true. Sam cuts him off and says it still exists. Congress is looking into providing some relief. The companies that he's built and the employees of those companies are going to survive despite what's going on here. Coulson is concerned, obviously, about going to jail, but Sam's like, well, what if we just maybe made you disappear instead? Coulson says there's no place on Earth that he can hide, and Sam's like, yeah, but, you know, we're not necessarily talking about Earth here. And the president wasn't responsible for what happened to him, but he's also not sorry about what is going on here because it's going to discredit Coulson. So maybe it's for the best if he just hides off on some other planet somewhere. All he needs to do is come with her because he who fights and runs away, and then Coulson puts down his gun and completes the sentence, lives to fight another day, and no one will ever know. End of episode. Did you like the episode?
No. It seemed like a completely pointless episode to me.
Yeah.
Like, you focus all this time on this guy, and either he's going to actually do something, or he's not, which in this case, he didn't. And now he's going to go live off-world somewhere and presumably work for the SGC off-world, and we'll never see him again.
Yeah.
It just, we've had these episodes before where, oh no, something's going to get out, and then, oh wait, no, actually it's not. Okay. It just seemed like we've already seen this happen before, and it just seemed pointless and kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
How about you?
I liked the first half to three quarters or so.
Okay.
I would say, I did think that it was interesting because, yeah, we have had people like threatening to reveal the secret, but then Coulson actually did reveal stuff, like he cloned the Asgard and showed that to everybody. So he was actually going along with his threat of telling everybody about it. But then obviously it just got dark and depressing towards the last 10 or 15 minutes after they're talking about Fogler dying, probably killing himself, or maybe being taken out by the trust or whatever. And then this last scene with Coulson and his gun, it's just really depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. So, yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say. It really felt pointless to me. And then it just went nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not really interested in this shadow NID organization. I don't care.
Yeah, I had actually completely forgotten about it until they mentioned it again here.
So we'll see what happens, but I don't need a secret cabal of corporate leaders screwing everyone over. they do that in public.
Right? Yeah absolutely.
Yeah, so that's all I got.
Fair.
What are we watching next?
Next is Stargate Atlantis, Season 1, Episode 8, Underground. Efforts to open trade relations with a people called the Genii? Genii? G-E-N-I-I?
I think it's Genii. Genii, yeah.
But I'm used to saying the Latin names for like animals and muscles and fair. Stuff. So by that pronunciation, it should be a Genii, but whatever. Turns sour when the team discovers their new allies have ulterior motives.
What?
Shocking. That was the TVDB. According to IMDB, ooh, call Meanie.
Hey, beautiful. Sunsets are beautiful. Newborn babies are beautiful. This is fucking spectacular.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention him, but his picture is in the thumbnail shot. So that's exciting. Atlantis wants to trade food with the Genii, a simple civilization who turns out to be not so simple. They are planning a nuclear attack against the Wraith.
Whoa, dude, spoiler alert!
Well, that was a lot more descriptive.
Indeed.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this episode, actually.
Fabulous. That's good.
Only for Chief O'Brien, but...
Yeah. I would like an episode where I don't need to give any kind of disclaimer.
Fair.
So
yeah.
Let's hope that we can get one finally, because this will be the third one in a row that starts with a disclaimer.
Everyone, nuclear war is bad. Please be prepared for the nuclear war coming in this episode.
Do not start a nuclear war.
Yes.
If you feel like you need to start a nuclear war, call this number.
Thank you so much for listening to Stargazing with Kathy and Mary. This podcast is completely listener-supported, and we couldn't do it without you. Show your support by telling everyone you know about how awesome this show is. Your reviews help a lot, especially on Apple Podcasts. You can find us at stargazing.space, reach out to us via email at stargazing@gmail.com, find us on social media at stargazing on Instagram, stargazing@mastodon.world, get some merch at tinyurl.com/stargazing, and finally show your financial support by joining us over at patreon.com/stargazing. Thank you for traveling through the gate with us. We'll catch you next time on Stargazing with Kathy and Mary.
I'm Mary.
I'm Kathy.
And you've been listening to Stargazing.
The end.
Woo!
Yay!
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, I'm tired of having to do trigger warnings for these episodes.
Yeah, no. It's...
Knock it the fuck off, Stargate.
No kidding. Jesus.